This week's parasha, Parashas Re'eh. Go a little bit in the middle of the parasha, Kapitel Yudeis, Pasuk Chof. Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha es gevulcha kasher dibelach v'amarta oich levasar ki se'ave nafshecha lecho basar b'chol avas nafshecha teichal basar. If you read this Pasuk, it seems a little bit verbose. A lot of words about having a taiva for food, and if you have a marta, and you will say, aicha basar, to say, to eat basar, kisa ala nafshecha lecha basar, because you're gonna have a taiva, your nefesh is gonna have a taiva to eat basar, why else are you gonna eat basar? Presumably the reason why you're gonna eat basar is because you have a taiva for it. So what is the positive telling us? Kisa ala, you should know, when you have a taiva for it, that's when you're gonna wanna eat it. B'chol avas nafshecha teicha basar, eat to your heart's content, to what you eat, to the taiva of your nefesh. Well, what's, Pasuk seems to have a lot of words that you would think shouldn't be here. Rashi says, "Ki yarchiv l'onda teira derech eretz shleis ava adam lecha baser alamiteich rachas yedayim v'oisher." Rashi says, if someone has money, only someone that has the capability should buy meat. It shouldn't be just anybody. Rashi says. Ben Ishchai says, unbelievable word. He says that the Teira Akadesha, Teira, is called Basa. Teira Nikar Basa, he said. Kotsi Gemara in Ervin, and Av Chafal from the days, which quotes Pasik in Koheles, your days, the Larg Harbe Yigiyas Basa, and much study is weariness of the flesh. In Hagisa Bateira, if someone is Hagisa, who toils, he's Isaac, he's Hagisa, he spends his time in Teira the proper way, then he has a Tam Basar. Rashi what it says is that he gets Mamash a Tam Basar. The same way a person has a physical sustenance, if a person eats Basar, he gets a physical, tremendous, for his guf, he gets physical sustenance. The Teira Akadesha, if somebody learns the Teira Akadesha and is Hagisa Bar, Yemen Valaila, the Teira Akadesha, he'll have the taste of meat for his nefesh that never gets stale. And he tells too, the Medrash, Vayikra Rabba, says, quoting a Pasuk in Tehillim, and in the Tehillim, the capital Kuf Yutas, Pasuk Kuf Tes, Choshafti Derochai Roshiva Ragli Elad Dascha. Famous Medrash, that David HaMelech every day morning would wake up and he would say, I'm going to go to the Merchats, I'm going to go to the gardens, I'm going to go to the vineyards, I'm going to go all over the place. And as he walked by the base Medrash, he snuck in. This way the Yetzer Hara thinks, I'm in the David HaMelech, we don't have to worry about him today. He's going to the swimming pool today. We don't have to worry about him today. So he let him go and then he snuck in. So Zokta Ben Ishchai, that's the Pshat of the Pasuk. He says, you want to know how to win the Yetzer Hara, how to get the Basar. What is Basar? The Taiva is Basar for the Nefesh. The Taiva of the Teira Kadesha. The Taiva for the Ruchni is Basar. He says, He's going to say, I'm going to eat Basar. He's not going to eat it. This Basar is talking about for the Guf. He's going to say, I'm going to go eat a piece of meat. And then, what does the Pasuk say? Kisa Aven Nafshecha. His nefesh, his soul, the ruchni is going to have a taiva for basar. Basar meaning taira. Then lecha basar. Then he should go eat it. He said, as much as his heart desires to learn, to connect himself to vagisa bo yemen v'layla of taira, that's what he should do. That's what the pasuk is telling us. Very interesting pshat. The shachal taira, Talmud Arizal, he says, oichlo basar, is a Rosh Tevis for Eini Chedai Lilmoy Natera Bishvil She'eni Roy. Roy. I'm not Roy to learn the Torah Akdesha. That's what the word Eichel Basar is Rosh Tevis for. He's saying is that a person Kisa Aven Ashechol Eichel Basar. A person could think is, I'm not Roy. I'm not on such a high madrega. I don't have such a tremendous connection to Torah. I can't accomplish that much. The pasuk says, "Kisa ave nafshecha." You should take even a little bit. You have a taiva for your nefesh. Every person's nefesh, every year's nefesh, has a little taiva. Even some people have more of a taiva to learn, but everyone has a pintle of yid in everybody, and everybody has at least a small taiva to learn taiva. You should use that too, even if you think you're not roi. But that's what the pasuk is telling us. You should still work on it, and don't say, "I'm not roi. Who am I to have a shaykes to the taiva kesha? I'm not even going to bother." The pasuk is telling us, no, you should go and make yourself have a connection. The Ksav Seifa says a more standard shot that the purpose of eating basar of Gashmias, the point is to get to Ruchnias. That's the whole point. Why do we eat anything? Anything that we do, we can elevate the level of what we do. If we're eating it, so we should have Kayach to learn Torah. So that's what we should do. We shouldn't eat just because we want to eat. We shouldn't eat because we want to have enjoyment from the food so much, as opposed to having the koyach that we should be able to go and be mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. The ma'aseh from the Kotzki Rebbe. They say the Kotzki Rebbe once had someone sitting at his table, and the fellow takes a piece of meat, and he picks it up, and he starts going. He wants to impress the Kotzki Rebbe. He says, "Hinni memuchan mezumen lekayim achilas basazu l'shem shamayim." And he's going on and on and on, and then he makes his bracha and he puts it in his mouth. Kotzki Rebbe, he takes a piece of meat, picks it up. He says, "Hareini muchan mezumen lekayim to eat the lechol to essen basaz eh." For my boch, for my stomach. Kotzki said that. So the guy looks at him, what does the Rebbe mean? He says, "Chutzman is the emes." Now, what he's saying is, when a person is doing harenim muchen mezumen, we should be eating. Don't fool yourself in thinking, I will not sit on the level that everything we eat is going to be for the purely ruchnius reasons, but we have to work on it. The Kotzki Rebbe was saying is, don't be a liar. But what you can learn from the story, the opposite is that we have to work on it. When we eat, everything that we do, we're supposed to have a connection of what we're here on this world for. What are we trying to accomplish? Noam Magodim says that in the Midbar, Klai Yisrael were only allowed to eat basar kabonis. That's the only basar they're allowed to have. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, now they were allowed to eat basar that was shechted not for a carbon. Why is that? Pashtus, for the simplest reason is because when the Klaiyos were in the Midbar, they all traveled together. They were all near the Mishkan, and anyone was able to. If you wanted to eat meat, you can go bring a carbon. It wasn't a big deal. But once you had all the nachlas was spread out amongst the whole Eretz Yisrael, we know that early regal when the Yidden used to go up to be Sholosh Regalim, used to be early regal. It was very difficult. It was a far travel. If they wanted a piece of meat, they wanted a carbon. I want a piece of meat. I have to go bring a carbon. It's going to be very far distance for them, and it's not really practical for them to do. And therefore, there was. Again, this is Parshat, he's explaining that that's why it was allowed, that they were allowed to have basar even not for karbonis. And he quotes the Gemara and Be'antet on Dach HaZayin. That's Shammai HaZakin. Every time he found a piece of meat, he said, "This piece of meat is a Kovet Shabbos." Now what happens, that was the Sunday. Sunday he found a piece of meat, it was a beautiful piece of meat, he said, "Zeh Kovet Shabbos," and he put it away. Monday, he all of a sudden finds a piece that's even nicer than the first one. He says, "Kovet Shabbos, I have to now make this piece Kovet Shabbos, because the Sunday piece is not as nice as the Monday piece." So he picked up the piece of meat and said, "Zeh Kovet Shabbos," and he put that away. Now what is he going to do with the piece of Sunday meat? He ate it. But when he ate that Sunday meat, that was a Kovet Shabbos also. That was a Kovet Rebbein Shalom. Because he was willing to set aside the nicer piece, the Monday piece of meat, he was setting aside for Shabbos, now he's left over with the pieces. Eating that piece on Sunday was also a Kovet Shabbos, because if he ate it, because now he's not going to throw it out, he's not going to waste, and therefore that created the opportunity for that second piece of meat, the Monday piece of meat, to be also a Kovet Shabbos. So we have the name of God is showing too that a person, when he eats meat, when he does anything, any of the mundane things that we do in this world, we can elevate it. Again, step by step, we can't jump all the way to necessarily to these madrigas, but we have the opportunity to work on it, to grow, that we should be doing it for the purposes, for the right reasons. It says in the Sefer Magid, and it says in the Pasuk, Re'ei Anoichi Noisein Lefneichem Hayoim. And the Pasuk says, Ubacharte Bachayim. He says, what is Chayim? Chayim means Chayim of Nitzchiyus. We're not talking about Chayim of life. When we say in Rosh Hashanah, when we say in the Seresh Mei Tshuva, we say, Zachrein El Chayim, El Chavit B'Chayim, Chazem Sefer HaChayim, Elikim Chayim. The first one, when I say Chayim Toivim, we're talking about the Goyim Shel Su, that Chayim Toivim is referring to the Gashmiyus. But Chayim means Chayim of Nitzchiyus. Chayim means that we want to have a connection, an internal connection to the Rebbeinu Shel, not like a life down here just of eating food and accomplishing what? What are we taking out of it? We want to have a Chayim, a connection to the Rebbeinu Shel. It says in the Odeis of Chayim that we know that if a tzaddik says a klola with a tenai, even if the tenai is not mekuyim, the klola is still mekuyim. On some level, we know that it's brought down in Chazal, that, you know, even if it's not, he makes it tonight, he says, only if this happens, even if it doesn't happen, there's still a klal there. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gave klalos to Klal Yisrael. Terrible klalos. So you would think that even if it's outside tonight, the Rebbeinu Shlom, by tzaddik, certainly the Rebbeinu Shlom gives klalos, then even if Klal Yisrael don't do that various, maybe there'll be a shemitz of the klalos happening. He says, no, the Rebbeinu Shlom Avad is way above what a tzaddik can accomplish, what the biggest tzaddik can accomplish, and the Rebbeinu Shlom Fakert, in all the klalos, we know that if you look through all the klalos, they're all brachas. Why? Because the klalos are just, the Rebbeinu Shlom is not giving klalos because the Rebbeinu Shlom is upset. The Rebbeinu Shlom is giving klalos so we should turn and do tshuva. And if we do tshuva, then we're going to get the brachas. So within the klalos, it's not a stam as a klalos with a tenai. It's a klalos that's the purpose of the klalos is all for that we should get taka bracha. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom's purpose is. That's the pshat over here, and the pasuk is telling us, "Hiyachiv Hashem lekechas gevurcha kashadibalach." For Marta oichla basa kisa ave nafshecha lecha basa. Your heart desires be explained. Basa meaning the Torah Akadosha, but even on the not on the drush level. But what does it mean to eat basa? It means basa gives strength. The reason we mean basa meat, having a shtick piece of flesh, it gives you koyach. But what are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to take that and channel it towards the right things. And the pasuk is stressing to us. Well, we say with David HaMelech, you should say, Amarta Eichel Basar, but that's not my purpose. What's my purpose in eating the meat? Not a gluttonous eating, not because I want to get fast from it and I want to enjoy life. What does it mean, enjoying life? When a person gets buried, you look, I mean, it's scary, you know, I went a while back, I went to the kever at night, a person dies, and then a few hours later he's buried and it's all over. What did we accomplish in this world? You ate another piece of meat. What is that going to get you? We have to connect ourselves to the Chaim of Nisvius. A little bit later in the parasha, Kapitel Yidal, the pasuk says, "Boni matem Hashem alekeichem, v'leisiskoy didu v'leisisimu korcho beninechem lameis." "Boni Hashem alekeichem," and you should know we're not allowed to maim ourselves. We're not allowed to make a bald spot between our eyes. Parsha the question. Why now, all of a sudden, is the Torah telling us, Bonim Atem Hashem Alekeichem? Why didn't it tell us earlier? Bonim, the Parsha is Re'ei, we're almost at the end of the entire Chamisha Kom Shei Torah, and the Torah tells us, by the way, you should know, Bonim Atem Hashem Alekeichem. I would think this Parsha should be, when the Torah Chaisa got the Torah, when they left Mitzrayim, Parsha B'Shalach, Yisrael, somewhere over there, we got the Tzeres HaDibris, why over here? My point over here. Ibn Ezra says that a person has to know, Kol Ol Rachman Al Tavavar. A person has to say it, a person has to believe it. Everything that the Rebbeinu Shlom does is for our good. Le'aleinu, if someone dies, or someone has a close relative that dies, or something else happens to him, he needs to have chizuk. He needs to say, you know, it's a terrible thing that happened. Le'aleinu, we shouldn't know from it. But Bonam Atem Hashem Lekechem. We are children of the Rebbeinu Shlom. The Rebbeinu Shalom, everything that the Rebbeinu Shalom is doing it for our good. He's not doing it to hurt us, Chas V'Shalom. He's doing it for our good. And that's why it's the same way a father takes care of his son. A son, that you have a little child. The father gives him a slap maybe for running in the street, for touching a fire. The son might think it's terrible. But at some level, the child starts to realize that when the father is punishing him, The father is doing it out of love because he cares for him. He's not doing it to hurt the child. He's doing it to save the child. And that's why if I care, the child comes back and still loves the father. You have maybe a stranger that goes and hits a kid. The kid doesn't forget and doesn't like that person. But you have a father who hits a kid or reprimands a kid. The child still loves him. Why does he love him? Because the kid feels it. The child knows it. He knows it. I remember when I was in camp, we had the head counselor let us know. He says, just so you know, that the kids are very intuitive. He said, they know if you like them or not. If you like them, and then they'll listen to you. If they know you don't like them, they're not going to listen to you. It's true. The kids, they're generally intuitive. They know. You think they don't know. I like that kid, I like that kid, I don't like those kids, you know. But the kids that you know that they know that you like them, they like you back. Our son knows that. We are Bonim Hashem Alekechem. We have to realize that the Rebbeinu Shalom is our father, and everything the Rebbeinu Shalom does is Hakas our good. And he shows us one other point, that we have to know what comes along with being the son of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the Melech Malchei Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're the son, we're prince. And that's why the parasha continues about the things that we're not allowed to eat abominations because we have to rise. We have to, at all points in time, we have to spear, we have to say, oh, we're Malchus. We're royalty. And we can't lower ourselves and say, our father's the king, we can do whatever I want. But that's not a proper son. And that's not a proper son. That's not a proper prince. We're royalty and we have to keep up to the standards. It says in the Orech Chaim HaKadosh that the same way when a father sends his son away to school, to work, whatever it is, and then when he calls him back, that's normal. So it could be that a father sends away his child to learn a certain trade, a certain how to be a king, whatever it is he sends him away for 10 years, and the person gets, and the son gets used to being in that place, and everyone around him gets used to it, and then he gets called back. So the people that he became close to there, it taka bothers them. They had the prince, they liked him, they got a connection to him, they got a physical connection to him, maybe a spiritual connection to him, and now he leaves. See, they're sad. But if you think about it, not that it's not sad, but you have to keep it is sad. There's still a sadness in that fact, but you have to keep it focused on the big picture. That's what's supposed to happen. This is the Ben Melech. He's going back to his father, the king. So too, when the Rebbeinu Shalom takes the neshama back into Shemayim, he puts down the child, he puts down the neshama. Every neshama has a tafkid in this world. When the tafkid is up, the Rebbeinu Shalom takes the neshama back. He takes back the neshama. So that's the yisoid of what's happening to a person in Bonim Atem Hashem Lekeichem. What he's going to do, the reason why we can't overdo it when we're mourning, we should mourn. There's still a loss, but we have to always keep this in mind. It says in the Chaimas Hanoch. And it says, "Bein einechem lomes," with a komach under the lamed. Lomes means loimes. That a person should know that when a yid dies, he's going to Gan Eden, to the true chayim. Like we discussed before, the nitzias chayim, and therefore it's loimes. He didn't die, not to go to that, rather loimes. It says in the Pri Haaretz, he quotes the Zohar Kaddish. And he says that the state of tshuva comes from bina. He says, what is bina? What is the word bina? Ben ka, the son of the Rebbeinu Shlom. I have an understanding, but what does it mean, ben ka? Why a Klal Yisrael zeichet tshuva? Why are we zeichet the tshuva? Why is there a concept of tshuva? You did a chet. Someone does a chet. Someone rebels against the king. They chop off his head. That's it. The story's over. Chop off his head. He was married to Malchus. What happens if the son is married in Malchus? The king doesn't want to chop off his head. He's the king's son. So he'll try to get him to do tshuva. Maybe he'll exile him and he'll send him away. And maybe he won't give him clothing. And we know all the different mishalim about it. But he's not going to chop off his head. He's still a son. That's why we're zeichet to tshuva. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to come back to him. Rabbi Abinel says that the word ben comes from the lashon of binyan, building. He says an av, a father, builds up his son. That's the job of a father. A father is a bina his son. That's what he is. He says the Rebbeinu Shalom is our father, and he builds Klal Yisrael. He's the one that helps us along. Anytime if we show the Rebbeinu Shalom that we want, the Rebbeinu Shalom helps us along and he makes us complete. It says in the Kemoitzi Shal Rav, he quotes in Meir Ani Yisrael, Pasuk says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu Va'osei Siro. After Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, you should follow Va'osei Siro, and you should fear him. Now, you ever wonder what the difference in the word is Acharei and Achar? We see it numerous times throughout Tanakh. Sometimes we see the word Achar and Acharei. So it's an important Yisrael that everyone should know. It's a Rashi, it's more than one Rashi, but the Rashi, the first Rashi I believe in the Torah that discusses it is in Bereishis, Kapitel Tez Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk says, Acher Advar Mo'elo Hoyed Va Hashem El Avram B'machaz Elei Maltira Avram Onechi Mogin Loch Sechor Chahabim Mo'oid. Acher Advar Mo'elo, what does that mean? Rashi says, Shenema Acher Samuch. The word Acher without a Yud means samach, means happen shortly thereafter. The word acharei, muflik, means that there's a big space. Achar hadvar me'ele means it happened immediately after. Whenever you'll see it in Tanakh, you look through it, you'll understand certain things will make more sense and click when you understand the difference in Tanakh and Megillah. It will, it's the same you say. Sometimes you have to answer, sometimes it seems not to make sense and you have to understand why it works, but it works in all of them. So what the Pasuk here is saying is, Acharei, we just said, means is a terrible separation. So why is it Acharei Hashem Elokeichem? If you say Achar Hashem Elokeichem, you should have a small gap. Why does it say you have a large gap? So he says, that the Chofetz, he quotes the Chofetz Chaim, that says that a person should know that even if he's Acharei, even if there's a tremendous gap between him and the Rebbeinu Shalom, he says, I'm very far from the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm not close. Not Achar, some of the Rebbeinu Shalom, and I'm going to fear him, but there's a tremendous gap. Nonetheless, Teilechu Ba'isei Siro, you should work in it and you should fear the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the Imre Emes says, suppose the Imre Emes met the Chofetz Chaim, and he said this word, and the Imre Emes Shalom too, he said, the Torah is telling you, how do you get close to the Rebbeinu Shalom? If you think you're Acharei, you're far, and you're working on getting close, that's how you take to get close. If you think you're already close, you think you're Acha, then you take it very far. That's the way you get close, by thinking I'm far away and thinking, oh, I have so much to work on, I have so much to strive for, I have to work on it. That's how you take it, become Acha. If you think I'm really close, it doesn't work. Perhaps the pshat over here is, when it says Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, and now it's telling us specifically right before it says Lysis, it's such an emotional point in time for a person like Olenu, when he loses a close relative, someone that he cares for, a person could start to wonder, why is the Rebbeinu Shalom doing this? Why is it fear? It's not fear. People start to ask questions. We know people went through the Holocaust, people walked out, they became nafrum. Why? There were people that walked out, the ones that were from, that stayed from. We don't judge the ones that didn't. But what do we have to work on? The ones that stayed from, the ones that didn't, they didn't ask questions why. It wasn't a question why. They say over the Ma'asef and Nachsan Sefer, there was a person who lived very, very long time. Very, very long time. Nachsan Sefer met him and says, what's your secret? What's your secret to living a long life? He says, throughout the years I had people, they were always asking the Rebbeinu Shalom, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to my family? Why? They kept on asking. The Rebbeinu Shalom brought them upstairs to show them the answer. I never asked why. I went through a whole life, never asked the question, why? The Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't have to show me anything. I don't have to understand. But we have to understand one thing. Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. We are children of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's the reason why, even if you have some, we have a nevach loss, we have to look. It's tackle a loss, and there's something to be sad about, but it has to be controlled. Next week, we start blowing the Shofar. What is this Shofar that we blow in Elul? What is it all about? Zokta B'shleim Meklubim Kilis Yaakov. V'yekam Bei Shofars Halalu. Why are there two Shofars? Yeshlem Erkach B'shnei Drachim. Echad Atim Asher Kasavti B'drushim Mekvar. Da Shofar Ma'or L'tshuvah K'mashkaz Rambam. The blowing of the Shofar is Ma'or Tshuvah. It causes a person, stirs the person to do Tshuvah. The Baskel Machriz, the Gemara in Chayiga says that a Baskel Machriz announces Shuvu Banim Shevavim. Ah, Mishmei Baskel. Who hears this? Who heard this Baskel? I don't know about any of you, but I didn't hear this Basco. Who hears this Basco? This is going back years ago. Because we're not going to hear it. So you should blow Shofar. The Shofar is the Ibn Shalom, a Basco coming out and being Machris. Shuvu Manam Shevavim. Do Tshuva. The Ramas. Shuvu Baruch. Machris and Ma'iris are other Moshe Tshuva. He asked a question. The tshuva gufa chidushu madam hani tshuva. The whole concept of tshuva is a tremendous chidush. Like we said before, you were married in the Ribbono Shelam. It's a tremendous chidush that he allows tshuva. Not only that, why does the person have to tell us? The person is doing a tremendous thing for us. He's allowing us to do tshuva, and you should know the person is also reminding us. He says, why is the person reminding us? Isn't it nice enough that he's letting us have tshuva? He also has to remind us. So, Afkar Kasavnu, he says, is Ayyimashi Yisrael Oisin La Atzman Shmir B'Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. If we're shamed the Mitzvah D'Rabbanan, Gam Hu Yisbarach Oisin Lahem Kenegim Ken. The same way we show the Rabbanu Shalom that we're going above and beyond, we're going more than we're not just listening to the Rabbanu Shalom's Torah, but we're also listening to the Rabbanan. So, the Rabbanu Shalom's going to go one step further for us. And he's going to, even though he already told us this Mari Digatin, that's the concept of tshuva. Not only that, he's going to announce it to us in Machras Abaskal, and we're going to have the shofar. Because the Rabbanu Shalom helps us do tshuva, and he calls out us to do tshuva, and we blow shofar Rosh Hashanah to be ma'ayras, because we're blowing shofar by the Rabbanans in Rosh Chodesh Elul. You have to start working on it before. If you're going to start working Rosh Hashanah, it's not going to help. You got to start blowing the shofar now. If you blow the shofar now, that's when the hachraza of the Rabbanu Shalom being ma'ayir us and helping us do tshuva, that's when it's going to work. He goes right, he discusses that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is the keneged, the Kabbalah's Matan Torah, the Kabbalah's HaTorah of the Raisa, and the Elul, the blowing of shofar of Elul is Kabbalah of the Rabban. The Gemara, Psochim, Ma'akot Tess, tells the famous Maisa, and the Malachim says, what is this human being doing over here? Get him out of here. Well, he doesn't belong here. He's trying to take out Torah. What's Shaifus? What did the Bainim Shalom say? Answer them. I'm scared they're going to burn me with the fire in their mouths. Hold on, grab onto the kisei, and answer them tshuva. And then the Gemara goes on. He says that the Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you know, you don't have the seeds for trying, you don't have mitzvahs. What should I ask you to tell you? Zokter Shlok Kodesh. He says when it says Hachzir lahem tshuva, doesn't say Hana lahem tshuva. Answer them, give them an answer. Hachzir lahem tshuva. Tell them what you have is we have tshuva. We have the capability to do tshuva. Tshuva, and then the Moshe says, I'm still scared. Tshuva, that we can reach to the Kisei HaKavod. We can do tshuva that can get us all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. The Malachim don't have tshuva. It's only why? Because we're the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're bonim Hashem Aleikeichem. It's the Alta Mikelam. The Medrash tells us that when the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, he gave them basar and cholov. They ate basar and cholov. It's an ifrit to eat basar and cholov. No tshuva for the Malachim. The Malachim, when they got it, they made a big mistake. They went to Avraham Avinu, he gave them Basar B'Cholov, they're out. No tshuva. They're never going to be as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tshuva, that's what we have. As we're approaching El, we have to work on it. We have to remember that we're born in Hashem Alekechem. It's a tremendous chus that we have, that we're able to do tshuva. We have to be ma'ir ourselves. And remember, born in Hashem Alekechem. And that's chus that we are born in. We're zeicha to have tshuva. And this chus of tshuva, we should talk about zeicha, to be zeicha in a good din. And we should be zeicha to have a ksiv of simon teiva and a good given shor. As we need to prepare, like we said, in Elul, not wait till Rosh Hashanah. Have a good Shabbos.